She's always been my favorite singer from a little girl. Luke chapter 2, verse 7. The girl sang about it. No room for Jesus. Luke chapter 2, verse 7. Glad you're here. It's a great crowd Sunday after Christmas. Usually there's a letdown right after Christmas. We've got a good crowd here today. Title, John, Can You Imagine No Room? Can you imagine no room? No, I can't imagine it. Hey, Amber and Billy, can you do a special tonight too? Can you kids do a special before Dad preaches and stuff? Okay, great. You know what I like about these holidays too? All the kids come back and everybody comes back. Even the big kids come back, like Brother Billy and Mel. It's so great to have everybody back. Amen? And just good to see everyone here. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word. We're so glad. I see Pam. Dave's mom's here too. God bless you, Pam. Pastor Dave's mom's with us. His dad was up for Christmas also. All righty. Luke chapter 2 and verse 7. One verse. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger. Look at that last sentence of that verse. Because there was no room for them in the inn. Look at that again. Because there was no room for them in the end. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for the greatest birth that ever took place, that will ever take place, that happened over 2,000 years ago, the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, because of that birth and that life and that death and that resurrection of that special child that was born, for all mankind, we have hope of eternal life through Christ. And Father, today I want to just tell you we love you and we want to praise you, worship you from our hearts. Tell you, Father, thank you for coming down for us. Lord, help me to be a blessing today, please. May Jesus Christ be lifted up and may all men see him today in his fullness, in his brightness, in his greatness. Lord, we thank you for the wonderful Son of God. Bless us today. Draw us close to you, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. There was no room for them in the inn. Every time I read this passage of Scripture, every time I read these words, Mildred, every time, as many times as preacher read it, every time I read these words, Grandma, I'm taken back. I really am. There was no room. I mean, I'm just taken back. Brother Bobby, when I read there was no room for Jesus, it makes me stop and pause for a moment. Can I put it down in kids' language, in the young people's language? Kids, when I read this, there's no room for Jesus, it blows my mind. It literally blows my mind that there was no room for Jesus. I mean, can you imagine? There was no room for Jesus, the King of Glory. No room for the great I Am. No room for the King of Kings. No room for the Creator of the world. Are you thinking with me? Can you imagine? There was no room for the Alpha and the Omega. Can you imagine there was no room for the Word of God? Turn me down a little bit, John. No room for the Holy One of God. No room for the Prince of Peace. No room for the Everlasting Father. No room for the door of heaven. Think with me. This isn't just some ordinary child that was born there. I preached a message a few years ago and Deborah reminded me of it. And then she made a song about it. And she said, well, Rich, you brought a message. Can you imagine? Those people that, and Pastor Dave alluded to it a little bit Wednesday night. Can you imagine Christ was there, Brother Jordan, and people walked by the Son of God. He was the door of heaven. People are searching for heaven. They were searching for how to get to heaven, and the door of heaven was within their grasp, within their reach, within their eyesight. Can you imagine how many people that were so close to Christ, yet and could have saw the doorway of heaven, could have obtained the eternal life through him, and yet passed right by him? No room for him? No time for him? No thought? No inkling of concern for him? Are you thinking with me today? That's a statement. I mean, can you imagine? No room for the Prince of Peace? No room for the Holy One of God? No room for the Everlasting Father? No room for the doorway of heaven? No room for the giver of eternal life? No room for the one who wanted to give them life, everlasting life, and abundant life? Can anyone say amen? Can you imagine? No room for the one that could break the shackles of death, hell, and the grave, and sin, and set them free? No room for that one? No room for the healer of their life? No room for the supplier of their life? No room for the provider of their life? Can anyone say amen? No room? No room for the one that was a sacrifice for their sins? Can you imagine? No room for the light to bring them out of darkness? No room for his sight to bring them the truth? How many people are searching for truth today? All you do is behold the Son of God. No room for his might to help those feeble and frail weakness of those people. The Bible says in Romans 5:6, for when we were without strength, see, we're all without strength. For when we were without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Amen? No room, Brother Rod. No room for the bread of life. No room, Brother Bobby, for the bread of life that could feed their hungry, hungry souls. Are you getting this today? No room? Can you imagine? No room so they could go to heaven and shun the torments of hell? By the way, heaven's real and hell's real. And that's why Christ came. You say, I don't believe it. Doesn't matter. It doesn't change it. It's still real. I know the Jehovah's Witnesses don't believe in hell, but I'm going to tell you, it doesn't change it. There's no unbelievers in hell. No room to receive a mansion in glory? Brother Wayne, no room so they could walk on streets of gold? Hello? Kids, hello? The kids do that. Hello? No room? Can you imagine? No room to receive. Those who all are born are born in condemnation. Brother Mark, no room to receive justification. No room to receive sanctification. No room to receive glorification. Are you kidding me? No room to inherit a place where there's no more sorrow, no more pain, no more tears, no more death. Hallelujah. I'm glad he made room for us. No room for the bishop of their souls? No room for the captain of their salvation? Can anyone say amen? Amen. Listen, the world didn't have time for Jesus, but Jesus made time for men. Listen to this. Man had no desire for Jesus. Man had no love for Jesus. Man had no room in his heart for Jesus. By the way, it's been 2,000 years, and Brother Wayne, it still hasn't changed. You know, the only thing with, you know, the Bible, you know what? History teaches us one thing. History teaches that we never learn from history. Did you know that? And history's proven, 2,000 years ago, history records that men did not have room for Jesus. And 2,000 years later, Brother Jordan, it hasn't changed. Men still don't have no room for Jesus. You think we'd wake up and smell the bacon. But Jesus made room in his heart for them. Get this. Oh, I like this. I really like this. Man was not mindful of Jesus. But Jesus was mindful of Psalms chapter 8. Man was not mindful of Jesus, but Jesus was mindful of man. In Psalms chapter 8, verse 3, when I consider thy heavens, I'm in Psalms 8, verse 3, Psalms 8, chapter 8, verse 3, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon, the stars, which thou hast ordained, and by the way, not only did he ordain them, he made them. God spoke the world into existence. He said, let there be light, and there was. Oh, I'm going to tell you, and we had no room for him. Hello? You got no room for the one that brought you to being? You got no room for the one that makes you exist? Used to sing a song, that the air that I breathe, he's just lending to me, and I owe it all to him. No room? No room? Look, listen. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon, the stars, thou hast made, or what thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Why would he even care about us, Brother Rod? Why would God even have a mind for man? Man has no mind for him. Brother Brian, man could care less about God, but no, God cared about, we were always on his mind. Oh, look at that scripture. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? Look up here, folks. You got to get this. We had no room for the one that was in the splendor of glory. You know what they did? You know what they do before? Mark, right now, you know what they're doing before Jesus? The angels and all the cherubims and things in heaven, seraphims and all them. Right now they're saying, holy, holy, holy. He's the adoration of all heaven. He's the splendor and glory of all heaven. And Jesus loved you and your wife so much and your children so much. He left that splendor of praise and adoration and glory and beauty and majesty. And Brother Mike, he came down to a sin-cursed world for you and for me. He left all that for this. And we say, no room? Can you imagine? No room? Can anyone say amen? I'm going to tell you, why did God care about man? Man does not care about God. Listen, God's not in the heart of man, but man's in the heart of God. I made a note of this. You see, man's not the source of God's love. Man's the object of God's love. 1 John 4:19 says this, we love him because he first loved us. 1 John 4:10 says this, herein is love, not that we love God, but that God loved us. Aren't you glad he did? Even though they had no love, no concern, no hope, they had no room for him, he still loved us. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that God loved us and sent his son to be propitiation for our sins. And they had no room for him. Galatians 4:4 says this, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son. How many are glad he sent a son? It's made of a woman. It goes on and says, the reason he sent him was to redeem us. Because we're all fallen from, we're all condemned, we're all sinners. Our sins had to be appropriated. They had to be paid for. Aren't you glad there was someone that loved us enough they'd come all the way from heaven? You're talking about, we support close to 100 missionaries. The first and the greatest missionary there ever was Jesus. Amen. See, Jesus left heaven to come to earth. Earth was Jesus' mission field. Yep. Amen. I'm talking about Jesus ain't for missions. He was the first missionary. Yep. Yep. Jesus' birth was no accident. Jesus' birth just didn't happen by chance. You know, the birth of Jesus Christ was planned by God. It was planned by God. Did you know the birth of Jesus Christ was prepared by God? Not it was planned by God, but it was prepared by God. Even when he made the first woman, Eve, he was preparing, he was planning for the virgin birth of Christ. And you know what's really exciting, Brother Danny? Not only did he plan it and prepare it, but he did it. The planning and preparation came, the Bible says, it came before the foundation of the world. In other words, before he made earth, before man even took a first breath, God was loved you so much. He cared so much about you and I. He prepared the virgin birth for you and I before we were ever in existence. Man. And it was so great importance to him, Brother Mark. This great event that took place in Bethlehem Manger over 2,000 years was so important to God. Yet, we had no room for him. It's mind-boggling. Can anyone say amen? Amen. No room for Jesus? Well, praise God. I'm so glad he made room for us. We didn't make room for him, but he made room for us. Amen. No love for Jesus, but Brother Wes, praise God, I'm so glad he made room to love us. Amen. Can you imagine? Can you imagine no room for Jesus? Listen to me. We cast him out. We cast him out. You know what he does to us, Brother Jordan? He draws us in. We said, crucify him, crucify him. He says, Father, forgive them. We put nails in his hands, nails in his feet. Sister Cochran, we put nails in the hands of his feet, but you know what he did? He put a royal diadem, a robe of righteousness around us so we can walk the splendors of heaven. Amen. Woohoo! Glory to God. We chose Barabbas, a murderer, a rebel, a thief, a seditionist. We chose Barabbas. They said, give us, what about Jesus? They said, no, give us Barabbas, give us Barabbas. But Jesus chose us. Amen. You see, Jesus took the place for the sinner. And yet we have no room for him. We took this can of nine tails and we scourged him and scourged him and whipped him and pulled back and whipped him again and whipped all his body beyond measure. The Bible says in Isaiah 52:14 that his body, the form of him was beyond any recognition. More, it says he had his form, Isaiah 52:14, his form it was beyond recognition. His form was marred more than any man. Marred more than any. Look up here, folks. Jesus was beaten so brutally, no one could withstand that, but he did. Aren't you glad he did? We gave him, Brother Miss Ruthie. Miss Ruthie, we gave him the cat of nine tail and the scourging. But Brother Mike, he gave us with his stripes. He gave us healing. Can anyone say amen? Can you imagine? No room for Jesus. We mocked him. We cursed him. We spit on his name. We crucified him. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. No room for Jesus? Aren't you glad he died for us all? Aren't you glad he drank the cup of all our sins? That's why it turned dark that day. You see, Brother Mike, they put Jesus on the cross, and from 9 o'clock in the morning to 6 to 3 o'clock, from 9 o'clock in the morning till 3 o'clock in the afternoon, For 6 hours, Jesus hung and suffered and died. He took, and the Bible says from noon to 3, the world turned complete darkness. You know why? Because all the sins of the whole world, my sins and your sins, were being judged in the person of the sacrifice of the Lamb of God. And we had no room for him. No wonder he cried out, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" You never forsook Noah in the ark. You never forsook the three Hebrews in the fiery furnace. You never forsook Daniel in the lion's den. Why have you forsaken me? He had to. The Father had to turn his back so all sin could be judged. The Bible says that in Isaiah 53 that his judgment satisfied, that sacrifice of Christ satisfied God's judgment for our sin. Aren't you glad he did that? Can you imagine? No room for Jesus? No time for Jesus? No love for Jesus? No desire for Jesus? But Jesus tells the thief on the cross, "Today thou shalt be in paradise with me." Can anyone say amen? In closing, hold on to your seat. In closing, Jesus died and arose and that third day, just like he said he would. Can I say something? The Bible says, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before the world began. Jesus, I can fail you. Man can fail you. But God will never fail you. I might break a promise. He will never break his promise. He died. He was born for us. He lived for us. He died on the cruel cross for us. By the way, 6 hours on that cross. Six is the number of man. God made man on the sixth day. He did it all for mankind. By the way, you ever notice about the cross? We had no room for him. But you ever notice Jesus when he's on the cross? His arms, Brother Brian, was outstretched, saying, "You didn't have no room for me, but I've got room for all of you. You just come. You just come. My love and my sacrifice is for all people. I've got room for all of you. You come." Can anyone say amen? Calvary cries out today, "I know you don't have room for me, but I've made room for you. I've made room for you. Just come to me. I've made room for you." We say, "We have no love and no room and no time for you, Jesus." But he says, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes shall not perish but have everlasting life." We say, "We don't care about you. We've got no room for you, no time for you." But he says, Romans 5:8, "But God commended his love towards us, in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us." We say, "Crucify him. We don't want him. We got no room for him." But he says, Brother Coolidge, "Whosoever will may come." Revelation 22:17, he says, "The Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely." Eternal life is free, but it costs Christ his life. We may not have made room for him, but praise God, he made room for all of us. Aren't you glad? Now you bear with me just for a few minutes, and I want you kids to listen to me. I want you young kids to listen to me. I want you older people to listen to me too. Every year I go to Toledo, Ohio, Pertner every year. Most of you, back in December 7th, 1980, Rose and I started a church called the Lighthouse Baptist Church. We were there approximately 9 years. Over 1,000 people trusted Christ as their Savior. And every year they had me, I went there again this year, on their 29th anniversary. 29 years that church has been down on that street. Brother Mark was very special this year. Rosie got to go with me. Normally, Rosie doesn't get to go with me, but this year, Miss Debbie made sure she stayed here. God made it so they didn't book you. We're here. I like it when they don't book you. I'm going to start praying, God, don't book them no more. Keep them here. It's so much better when they're here with us. I think we should book them 52 weeks a year here. Rosie got to go with me this year. And you all know the story how I got saved. Remember I told you I got saved for an old green couch? How much did I pay for the green couch? And do you remember where it was? It was at 1034 and a half Sherman Street in the upper duplex. When I grew up as a kid, I had a good friend. He was an Italian. No, kid. His name was Dick Anello. We played ball and we did everything together. Then I got saved. He got saved. Later, of course, we both didn't know each other got saved. And he ended up marrying one of Rosie's best friends, Ellen. And so when we got married, we rented this duplex over in Sherman Street where I got saved later. We rented the upper part of it. Guess who was in the lower part? Dick and Ellen. One of my best friends, one of her best friends from school. But you get out of school, you lose track of people. You'd be surprised, you kids, when you get out of high school, you'd be surprised, you say, oh, I'm there. But you go your own ways, you get married, and the next thing you know, you don't see your kids that you used to be. And of course, I got saved, and we went to, we were going to two different churches, and we grew up, and then, they came to Lighthouse. When I started the church, they came to Lighthouse with us. Amen. Dick and Ellen. And I think they were there the first service. And they had two sons. The older boy was Stephen. Chris is your age. Stephen's older than Chrissy. They're two boys. Chris was the younger one. But they're about Tammy's age, David Richards, right in that age. They're two young, about kids like Tammy and Dave were. They grew up in that church. I'm going to tell you right now, boy, those kids got older. I was with those kids all the time. Man, they were getting in all kinds of trouble. Man, those kids were just, for some reason, even though their mom and daddy brought them to church every Sunday, Andrew, those kids were just into stuff. They just had a rebellious spirit. They really did. And when me and Rosie left, after we left that church, later we came here, their mom and dad left that church too. But Steve and Chrissy got into all kinds of trouble. Lots of trouble. Drugs and all kinds of wild stuff. What was so special about this year? I haven't seen those kids. Now they're like 35, 38, right in there. They're in their mid-30s. I hadn't seen those kids for about 20 years. The last I saw them as their pastor, they were little rebels. Didn't want nothing to do with God. Nothing to do with God. We showed up this year at Lighthouse Baptist, and who comes in there but Ellen and Chris, the mother and the son. And now they're members, faithful members of Liberty Baptist. Amen. Chrissy, the reason they came here because Chrissy wanted to see his preacher. Now Chrissy's grown up. He's got two or three children himself. And Brother Wayne, matter of fact, his daughter has a baby. And And I hadn't seen him for about 20 years. He said, Mom, I got to see Preacher. I just got to see Preacher. I haven't seen him. Last time he saw me, I was a rebel against God. And I saw him, and boy, it made my whole day when I went to Lighthouse seeing him there, and I hugged him and saw their children. And he said, Brother Rich, I'm living for God now. I want to read this. I got this letter from Chrissy this week. You see, when Chrissy was young, he wouldn't make no room for Jesus. When Chrissy was young, he didn't want to make no room for Jesus. See, some of you young people, you got to wreck your stick in life before you make room for Jesus. Hi, Brother Rich. Chris and all, I was so happy to see you guys at Lighthouse Baptist. It's been a long time. You know when God called you to leave, when we left Lighthouse, I ended up leaving too, but not for the right reasons. Let me tell you something. When you're not in church, the devil will eat you alive. And brother, he took some bites out of me. I'm ashamed for the things I let the devil talk me into. I was in pretty deep, but let me tell you, God was with me the whole way. Some of the things I was doing, anybody else probably would have been dead. God pulled me out. And by the grace of God, I rededicated my life to Jesus. And I'm back in church where I belong. I know without a shadow of doubt, I'm on my way to heaven when I die. You see, I have a personal Savior who let direct my life now. Who I let direct my life now. I don't know why. By the way, if you'd make room for Jesus, he'll direct your life too. See, we just don't have enough sense to give Jesus some room to direct our lives. I don't know why I need to tell you this, but thanks for being there. You've known me my whole life, and I love you. I had a chance to view your church, talking about Bethel. He went to the website. What an amazing church. You always had a way to bring the people in. God bless you for that. You have been weighing on my heart since seeing you guys last. And I feel like God wants me to come out to your church and see you. I don't know why. Please keep me in your prayers as I will do the same. Your friend in Christ, Chris. I wrote him. I said, we'd be glad to have you, Chris. And then I got this one yesterday. It's the older brother that Chris was a real rebel. I remember about the last time I saw Chris. Steve, the older brother, Steve. One day I got so mad at him, I grabbed him right by his neck. I know you don't like this kind of stuff. I was a lot younger then. But he was wrecking his life. He was getting into drugs and all kinds of stuff. He smarted off to me. And I just grabbed him by his neck, Brother Wayne, in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost. I said, you little smart Ike, I'm going to pop your stinking neck off. How you like that? You say, I don't like that. I'm just telling you what went down. It's about the last. And I said, I'm going to whip your daddy, too, if he wants to, because he should be whipping you. I'll whip you both at the same time. I don't do that stuff. I'm so mellow. I'm such a little. Eddie White would relate to this real good. But you fight for people that you love. The reason I was grabbing the kid is because I loved him. I didn't want his life to go down the tubes. I don't want your life to go down the tubes. He wouldn't make no room for Jesus in his life. He ended up going to prison. He's in prison right now, Stephen is. But he got saved a year ago. I got this letter yesterday in the mail. These are two boys that grew up in my church at Lighthouse that wouldn't make room for Jesus. You go ahead, kick them out. Say, go ahead and be a smart guy, be a tough guy. You end up in prison, you tough guys. You'll be writing me a letter someday in tears. Yep. Steve says, Pastor Skyver, I won't read the whole letter, but first let me say that I wish I was writing you under better circumstances, but I'm a living example of what living a sinful life and thinking in my head. See, when you live a sinful life and you kick God out of your life and you don't have no room for Jesus, this is what's going to happen to you. I lived a sinful life and not for God. Thinking in my head, I knew God, but in my heart, didn't believe or trust in God. They weren't saved. They grew up in church. They knew all the church stuff, but they really didn't have Christ in their heart. You can have all the religion in your world. It ain't going to change your life. You got to have Christ in there. You wonder, what's wrong with these people that can't change? I'm going to tell you what happens. If you don't get Christ in your heart, you don't change. You're still lost. You're still going to hell. You're still a pawn of the devil. And he was a pawn of the devil. I'm thinking in my head, I knew God, but in my heart, didn't believe or trust in God. I'm thankful that my Lord Jesus Christ had a plan for my life and watched over me all those years that I was living in the world of sin. Preacher, I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior in January 2008. And wow, has my life been great ever since. Yes, I'm in prison, and I've been locked up since December 26, 2007. And I will be here until October 11, 2011. But by the way, I was facing 22 and a half to life. Yeah, go ahead, smart guy. Go ahead and have your fun with drugs. Go ahead and have your fun with the sex and all. Go ahead and do it, smart guys. Go ahead and go to those honky-tonks. Go on. You'll be writing me a letter. Yes, I'm in prison. I've been locked up since December 2007. And I'll be here until October 11, 2011. Sad to say, this is my second time in prison. Once before in Ohio, now he's up in Michigan. From 2002 to 2005, we left around at the in 89, so about a few years after we left, it just took him a couple more years, and he was in prison. He was going right. He ended up right where I told him he was going to be. Yeah, you go ahead and be a tough guy. You go ahead and get in your honky-tonks. You get in your drugs. You go and drink your alcohol. Go ahead. Don't make no room for Jesus. Don't make no room for Jesus. You go ahead. Pastor Skyver, I am doing really good. I don't say any of this in a prideful, boasting way, because I give all the credit to Jesus. I read my Bible daily. I'm in the New Testament for the third time. Amen. Just started the book of Matthew in the Old Testament, the book of Jeremiah. I also have over 300 scriptures memorized. You know, but he had room for Jesus before this, he wouldn't have been doing it from the prison cell. I have over 300 scriptures memorized. I memorize at least 3 a week. Why do we have to hit, look up here, why do we have to hit bottom? Why does your marriage have to go to the bottom till you give room, Jesus some room for your life? Why do we have to become an alcoholic before we'll give Jesus room? Why do we have to have our life all destroyed, all turned upside down before we'll say, okay, make room for Jesus now? He said, I memorize at least 3 scriptures a week. I'm doing Bible studies through the mail. And even though I'm in prison, I'm truly blessed. So much has changed in my life that I cannot thank God enough for what he has done for me. I am also very thankful for the way I was raised. Proverbs 22:6. You see, he was raised up. He was brought to church, Mark. They brought him every Sunday. Hey, you kids, it's your mom and dad bring you every Sunday. Don't you get mad at mom and dad. They're just trying to help you. Amen. You're just too stupid to learn what they're trying to get you to have. Yeah, listen. Good preaching, ain't it? Amen. Here's a kid. That's my daughter's age. They had a rebellious spirit. You stick that rebellious spirit. It's Satan. Yeah. You think you're real tough and think that you're really cool. You're just a pawn for Satan.
Yep. Amen.
Anyways, I'm part of the church leadership team here at the prison. I make all the announcements in the church, welcoming new people as well. I ask people to do scripture reading. He goes on. He wants to do a prayer. He wants to be on a prayer list and stuff. He said, I could go on, but I want you to know that I'm serious about my walk with God. And if it would be okay when you in the church, when I get out, I'd like to come down and share my testimony. I know there are a lot of people who need to hear what I've been through. How God loves them, how he cares for them. They can know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, not go through what I did. Not go through what I did. That's what he wrote in here. He said, hey, make room for Jesus. Don't go. You're heading where I am. He thinks, he says, he talks about Tam and Dave and Rosie. I brought Bible lessons when I went to Lighthouse and came to his mama. His mama sent them to him. He said, thank you for those lessons on angels and stuff like that. I'm really glad Chris and Steve made room for Jesus. It's too bad they wasted 20 years of their life. Been about 20 years. You're going to waste some of your life? How much of your life are you going to waste till you make room for Jesus? I mean, hey, will you make room for Jesus to pray? Will you make room for Jesus to read your Bible this year? I've asked you to read the New Testament with me. By the way, we're getting to the end. It's the last week. Then we'll start again next year. Can you say amen with me? Can you make room for Jesus to come to church tonight? Can you make room for Jesus to witness and tell someone else about his saving grace? Can you make room for Jesus to be faithful? Can you make room for Jesus to be so you'll be a giver to God? You know, before you do that certain thing that you're not supposed to do, why don't you make room for Jesus? Before you drink those things that you're not supposed to drink, why don't you make room for Jesus? Before you say those words that you're not supposed to say and you know you're not supposed to say, why don't you make room for Jesus? Before you do, hey, you teenagers, before you do some of those evil acts that you're doing, why don't you make room for Jesus before you do them? Hey, you adults, before you do some of those evil acts that you've been doing, why don't you make room for Jesus?
Amen.
Then you won't be doing it. There's no room. I can't imagine. There's no room for him. Steve, from a prison in Detroit, in the state of Michigan, rather. Chrissy never had to go to jail, but Steve did. They were young and they didn't have no room for Jesus. Watch out when you're young, Andy. There's a lot of things that'll take you out. Andrew, make sure you watch out. Austin, listen to preacher. The world wants to take you away from Jesus. Make sure. Philip, watch out, son. The world wants, Satan wants to take you away so you make no room for Jesus. Natalie Rose, you be careful. As pretty as you are. And Grandpa's little Linny Lynn. Honey Lynn. Nat Nat. Little Giddy. Oh, she's so pretty. She's going to get mad at Grandpa. I don't care. You always make room for Jesus, honey. Look up here. And there was no room for Jesus. How many of our kids have went down the tubes because they couldn't make room for Jesus? How many of our kids have went down the tubes because they didn't see us make room for Jesus? What kind of example are you for your kids? Oh, I ain't got time to read my Bible, preacher. I ain't got time to take people to church, preacher. I ain't got time to do this, preacher. No room for Jesus? We look at, Brother Wayne, we look at those people back there and say, how stupid could they be? Get in the mirror. Say hello, dummy. There's no room for Jesus. You ought to make room this year. Today, on this date, you can't do nothing about what you did back in 2009, but I'm going to tell you right now, from this date forward, you can make a difference. I can't wait to hug Steve when he comes and Christy. I'm so glad that it took them time in their life, but they finally made room for Jesus. They got a lot of scars and a lot of sorrow because they didn't know right away. How many scars and sorrow will you have? How many will you have? How much will you have? You better be thinking about making room for Jesus. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, I'm so glad you made room for us. And Father, I pray with all my heart, as we think about no room for Jesus, dear God, help us to make room for you. Help us not to make the same mistake as multi-millions of people, literally billions of people, down through the ages, have made the mistake of having no room in their life for Christ. I wonder, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, first of all, how much room, Christian, how much room are you making for Jesus? Do your children see you making room for Jesus? Christians, have you given very much room lately? Is he the centerpiece of your home, of your heart, of your life? Let me tell you, today would be a great day to get the old-fashioned altar and say, oh God, I've not been reading, I've not been praying, I've not been doing like I should. I've been so busy, I've not been soul winning. I've not been witnessing to people. I've not even cared about people going to hell. Oh, God. The reason I've done that is because I haven't made no room for you. I let the world take all my heart. Instead of letting you have all my heart. God, I want you to be preeminence in my life. I want to give you all the room of my life. I'm making room for you today, Jesus. How many say, preacher, I need that for my life. Pray for me. You'd say that. Yes, 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 yes. Why are you waiting there? Come up the altar and start praying. That's right. Just come right now. It's about time we just get serious with God. God, I'm going to make more room for you right now. That's right. Just come. Don't worry about what people think. You just make room for Jesus. Don't worry about what other people think. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about what people think. Say, just worry about you and Jesus. That's right. God, I'm going to make more room for you. I think in my hustle and the bustle, kind of left you out in some places. God, I don't want to see tragedy come in my life because I didn't make no room for you. That's right, you just come. That's right, you just come. You just come, that's right, just come. People come. You can't get the altar, find a place around the front. You just come. The greatest thing I can ask you today is this. If you've never made room to be for Jesus to be your Savior, if you've never asked Christ to save your soul from hell, that's the greatest error you can ever make in your entire life and eternity. Because if you die without Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, just Him coming wouldn't do you no good. You didn't avail yourself to His coming. You didn't make room in your heart for Him. And maybe today some of you could say, "Preacher, I don't want to die and go to hell without Christ. Pastor, I'd like to know when I die, I'd go to heaven. Could you raise your hand and say, 'Preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. I don't want to die and go to hell.'" Pray for anyone like that? Yes, who else? Pray for me. Pray for me. "Preacher, I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. I've never really asked Christ to save me. I've never asked Christ to save me, and I don't want to die without Christ. Pray for me. Pray for me." Heavenly Father, we did the best we could. I pray, dear God, that we'll always make room for You in our lives. Father, thank You. Thank You for making room for us. And Father, thank You for, even when You're not on our mind, we're on Your mind. Thank You for those outstretched arms on Calvary's cross. And You're saying, "Even though You don't have room for me, I've made room for You." Help people to come. Help them to come. Help them to come and know the joy of knowing Christ. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand. We'll sing. People are praying. What verse are you on, Brother Mark?